So tonight, I want to go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 20. We're going to read there today, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. I want to invite us just to stand just for the reading of God's word. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Very simple passage of scripture that I believe that the Lord wants to speak to us today. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. We encouraged all of us last week to let us know that, hey, if you feel guilty about some of the things that you've done, because of Jesus Christ, you're a new creature. It's behind you now. There's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You are a new creature. I need us to get this. Because this is something that the Bible constantly talks about. Like the Apostle Paul is constantly speaking about this all throughout his letters. He's constantly reminding the church and the believers that they're new creatures now. You don't have to do what you used to do no more. And you don't have to feel bad any longer about what you did. Why? Because it's been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And what some of us need is we need breakthrough in the area of being free and being detoxed from our past, because our past has been getting in the way. But tonight, it's not necessarily our past that's getting in the way. It's people that might be getting in the way. So Proverbs 13, verse 20. I only got one verse that I want to give us tonight. Proverbs 13, 20. Here's what the Bible says. The one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. The one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. As we close out our sermon series for the month of January and February now that we've called Detox, I want to call today's message, They Gotta Go. Come on, y'all tight already, man. I don't know if it's the cold. I don't know what it is, but they gotta go. Tell the person beside you, hey, neighbor, you may not want to hear this, but they gotta go. Find somebody else across the room. If you're online, say it. Say, hey, neighbor, I don't know if anybody told you this, but they gotta go. Come on. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you speak to us? God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would teach us your word. God, I pray that even though this message might be a little uncomfortable for us to hear, Lord, we believe in faith that the truth is what sets us free. So, Lord, would you speak to us now in this moment in Jesus' name? And every person said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. They gotta go. Now, family, one of the things that I'm sure all of us would agree on is that oftentimes when a new year begins, oftentimes there's different things that many people focus on when it comes to new things, new years, new seasons. We want new clothes, or maybe we want to adopt some new habits. Maybe there's some new perspectives that we want to adopt. Oftentimes when a new season or a new year begins, there's often much talk about new things, new diets, new mindsets, new habits. Why? Because we see the value in experiencing a renewal, or for the sake of the series that we're in, we see the value of experiencing and undergoing a detox. But I believe that the area that often gets little to no attention that we need a renewal in, or a reset in, is in the area of relationships. This is an area, family, that oftentimes, even if we know needs to be addressed, we will sometimes avoid from addressing it. That this area of relationships is an area that many times many people don't spend the effort and the energy and the focus renewing. Oftentimes when people are making New Year's goals and New Year's resolutions, you're not typically going to find people say, I want new friends this year. Some might, but most are not. Many times we're saying other things, and not that those other things are not important, but it's interesting how oftentimes the area that might arguably be the most contributing factor to determining the sustenance of what our life is the area of relationships. So what happens is this, family. We want new outcomes in life, but we still have the same old connections. We stay connected with that old flame and wonder why we keep getting burned. Come on. Come on, y'all here on a Friday? Come on, we got time today. I got time today. We want new things, but we oftentimes still have the same types of relationships. And some of the reason why many people miss out on breakthroughs from God hear me, is because of relationships that we have that may not be from God. I'm gonna say it again because I don't know if we got it. Some of the reason why many people miss breakthroughs from God is because of the relationships that they have that might not be from God. Meaning this, part of the reason why many people don't experience the good things that God has for them is because they got the wrong people in their life. So the question I want to ask us right now as we begin our time together, and if you're watching online, I want you to begin to think about this as well. What if it isn't the devil who's blocking blessings? What if it's your best friend? I will take my time, then I feel good. What if it isn't the devil keeping you from walking in purity, but the person that you're dating that God never sent you? Because a lot of times we blame the devil for stuff. Maybe it's not the devil. Maybe it's our decision making when it comes to relationships. And oftentimes, here's what happens. Many people want breakthrough, but many people don't want relational change. Like with this guy by the name of John Rohn, he says it like this. You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. The average. In other words, think about the five people that you're closest to. You average them together. You got you. Here's the lesson I want us to understand. Write this down. If we want to experience breakthrough in our life, we have to detox the relationships of our life. I get it. This is a hard message. Many of us don't want to hear this. Some of us are like, man, I could do other things on a Friday night. I'm out of here. But if you want breakthrough, this is an area that has to be examined and assessed. This is an area that has to be dealt with. Which brings us here to Proverbs, where we see the writer, more than likely theologians believe is King Solomon, writing this particular proverb, but he's giving some principles of wisdom. Oftentimes the book of Proverbs is referred to as wisdom literature in the course of scripture and throughout the course of the books of the Bible. And the reason why it's referred to that is because oftentimes what you're seeing is these incredible godly kingdom principles that are oftentimes bite-sized or oftentimes expanded in thought, but they're principles and their wisdom and their insight that are designed to help us to live a life not of foolishness but a wise life. Solomon was considered to be one of the wisest of people of all time, and one of the words that you constantly see pop up in the book of Proverbs is this word wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. You see this word pop up constantly in the scripture. But what we see in this one sole verse in verse 20, and what I love about the scripture, is you can get a whole Bible study series, you can get a whole sermon series off of one verse from the Bible if you look at the scripture properly. I could spend a whole month unpacking Proverbs 13:20. And what's interesting is here in Proverbs 13:20, what Solomon begins to talk about and help us to see is how relationships of all kinds, how they carry influence in our life and how they carry impact in our life for better or for worse. And in many ways, this verse, this one verse, Proverbs 13:20, and I want to encourage us all, memorize this scripture this week. You can memorize it tonight. You can memorize it right now while we're talking about it. The one who walks with the wise will what? Come on, let's practice. Will what? Become wise. But a companion of fools will suffer harm. Some of us, the issue is not that you're foolish, you just hang around foolish people. You're not a fool, you just hang out with fools. Now, does that make you foolish? I'll let you decide. But what Solomon is talking about here is he's essentially almost giving a warning as to how relationships should not be treated as trivial because of the impact that they have on people's lives. And because of this, and because oftentimes people lack wisdom in the area of relationships, here's what happens. We mishandle or we mismanage relationships. And a major reason why this verse is important is because it helps us to see that one, relationships are not neutral. They affect us in some way. It helps us to see, I want you to write this down. Who we walk with shapes where we end up. Who we walk with shapes where we end up. And this text should cause us to ask this question. Who am I walking closely to right now in my life? And then another question. Where are they taking me? You ever thought about the word relationship? What is a ship? It is a big, created, manufactured type of mode of transportation that does what? It takes you from one place to another. Your relationships are taking you one place to another. The question is, are they taking you where you want them to go? Are they taking our lives where our lives should be? Are they taking our lives where God wants them to be? And I believe, family, that just as we see in the scriptures, how oftentimes many people lack the wisdom of God when it came to navigating relationships. If you look all throughout the scriptures, oftentimes people were falling short in this area. People were having all different types of grimy relationships and friendships, and marriages looked crazy and connections looked all distorted. And it was oftentimes because of the fact that people did not possess the wisdom of God necessary to navigate the relationships in their life, or the wisdom of God to determine whether or not they needed to have certain relationships in their life. And I believe that just as the people of the Bible dealt with that, let us not look our nose down on other people, because let's be honest, we oftentimes do the same exact thing. Come on, I believe in today's time, we also have the same struggle when it comes to relationships. Pastor, how can you say that? Because let's be honest, we're connected sometimes with people that we shouldn't be connected to. Come on, let's be real. We know it. We hang out with people that we should not hang out with, and we say things like this, oh, that's just how they are. They won't rub off on me. They already are. Or we'll justify people staying in our life that we know aren't really good for us because they've always been in our life. They've always been there. Just because they've always been there doesn't mean they need to stay there. Come on. And a lot of times what happens is, because we don't have this wisdom, we don't know how to handle relationships, and we don't know who we should be connected to and who we shouldn't be connected to. And here's what's happening. Many people are delayed in their life and missing out on what God has for them. Many but because they have the wrong people around them. Relationships. Somebody say relationships. Oh man, we need to detox in the area of relationships. Let's be honest. If we're really, really honest, come on, it's Friday night, Sunday morning if you're watching right now. We've missed some opportunities because of bad relationships. Come on. Y'all don't want to be real with me on a Friday. This is crazy. Come on. Like, I'm not going to say that, Lord. Okay. I almost got real messy. I'm not going to bother that right now. I'm not going to bother it. Y'all pressuring me to be petty right now, and I'm not going to do it. The spiritual bullying is not of God. That's what y'all know. You know what I thought about? We're going to talk about this in the dating in the next series on relationships. That man. What if we've missed opportunities with the right people that we're actually supposed to be with because we chose the wrong person? They look good, but they're not godly. And then we end up dealing with the fruit of it later. That's the spiritual version of what I was going to say. If it was connect group time, which, by the way, everybody needs to be in a connect group, we could be real and take the mask off. But what if we've missed opportunities in life because of the people in our life? Let's be honest. We've gotten into trouble because of bad relationships. Come on, let's be honest. Some of the dumbest decisions that we've made in our life came because we had the wrong people around us. They were gassing you up to do it, and you didn't want to do it. But you said, I got to do it because my boy said it. I got to do it because my girl said it. Everybody else was spending money on vacation. You didn't have money, but because you wanted to fit in with everybody else, you went into debt to try to fit in. Come on. Some of the debt that we have right now isn't because we wanted it. It's because we wanted to fit in. Come on. And we've maybe missed some things. And maybe even spiritually, we've compromised in our walk with God because of ungodly relationships. I'm going to say this. There's so much I want to say right now about that point. I'm saving it for the relationship series. Y'all need to be here next week, okay? I'm going to save it. But some of the reason why we miss out on the good things God has for us is because of the people that we're deeply connected to. Hear me. Some of us are loyal to the wrong people. We grew up together. That don't mean it's godly. Come on. And what's happening now is we're missing out on the things of God because we got the wrong people in our life. We're missing out. And sometimes it takes tragedies for us to recognize that. Sometimes it takes missed opportunities for us to recognize that. And here's another thing I got to think about too. If I hang out with all the same type of people, it not only says something about the people, it also might say something about me too. Come on. For all my dating people, I keep attracting the same type of person. Might need to check some things. And what happens is a lot of times, because we don't have the wisdom of God necessary and needed in the area of relationships, we don't end up stewarding this area. And so we miss out on the things of God. And all of us, myself included, I feel like we've all dropped the ball when it comes to the area of relationship. We've all lacked wisdom in the area of relationships. We found ourselves in relationships that have negatively impacted our lives. But here's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that is found in this one proverb, that it is situated in this book of Proverbs, which, as we said, is a book of wisdom. That the reality is, even when we lack wisdom to make the right decisions, God is so good that he is willing to not leave us stranded, but he offers us wisdom to be able to navigate the challenges and the complexities that we deal with, even in the area of relationships. So here's what this means. Even if you don't have all the answers, God does. You don't have to have all the answers to the relationship questions that you might have right now. Here's the good news. God does. And the reason why this should give us hope is because if God is the God of wisdom, that means he has wisdom for any area of life where we may lack it. If you lack wisdom to make a decision, here's the good news. He will provide it. If you lack peace of mind, here's the good news. He will provide it. If you lack direction, here's the good news. God will provide it. Is there anybody here on a Friday or a Sunday that's grateful about the fact that our God loves us so much that he won't leave us hanging, but he will give us wisdom that we need to navigate things? But he isn't just the God of wisdom. He's the God of provision. If we need strength, God will give it. If we need hope, God will give it. If we need joy, God will give it. If we need resources, God will send it. If we need friends, God will send them. And I believe that many of you who are here today can testify to the fact that God provided for you when you had some serious needs in your life. When you needed a place to live, God provided it. When you needed some resource, God provided it. When you needed help to pass a test, God provided it. When you needed comfort in a time of grieving, God provided it. Is there anybody here tonight that got a testimony of how when you found yourself in need, God made a way and God provided? He's the God of provision. He's the God of wisdom, which means this. He will also give us what we need to navigate relationships properly. When you think back over your life, before we even talk about relationships more, I want you to think about areas of your life where there was lack. Has God not ever been faithful? Did he always show up? He may not have showed up in the way that you wanted him to, but he always came through and he was faithful. Come on, where are my real people at in here that can say, I know what it's like to be in the depths of life, and I know what it's like to be in the dark moments of life when I felt like I didn't have anything to live for at all, but God showed up and God made a way and God helped me. If you got a testimony like that, I think that's a reason to give God praise for a few moments on a Friday night, that God met your need, that God was there with you, that God was faithful to you, that God opened up doors, that God showed you love, that God gave you peace, that God gave you hope. He met those needs, man. Whatever the need was, he meets it. And even in the area of relationships, he meets that need. Can I let you know something about relationships that God does want us to understand? Here's what we need to know about relationships. We need relationships. Oh, we need them. We need them, but God also cares about the relationships. Here's what Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10 says. It says this, two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good reward for their efforts. Verse 10 says this, for if either falls, his companion can lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. Here's what this shows. The value of relationships and the need for relationships. Here's what I need us all to understand. We all need relationships. Tell the person beside you, we need each other. We need relationships. Come on, type it in the chat. We need each other. We need relationships. But more than we need relationships, we need the right relationships. And we need wisdom to steward relationships. We need discernment in relationships, which is why we're starting this whole brand new series that you may have noticed you got a whole invite card for. And the name of the series is called Rules of Engagement. Because when we engage in relationships, we can engage in relationships culture's way or the king's way. Culture's way will get you what culture gets. The king's way will get you what the king has promised. And what we learn in this scripture, why don't you write this down, is that God not only cares about what's happening in your life, he also cares about who's connected to your life. He not only cares about what's happening in your life, he also cares about who's connected to your life. And the words of Proverbs 13:20, hear me, they teach us a few things about relationships and their impact on our lives. And now before we get into this whole detoxing relationships and they gotta go, we're gonna get to that in just a moment. Before we talk about what to do with relationships, we need to first look at and understand what relationships do to us. Before we learn what we need to do with them, we need to learn the impact that they have on us. And Proverbs 13:20 helps us to see that. Number one, just from this one verse, I want you to write this down, shows us this. Relationships, write this down, number one, relationships are directional. They're directional. Pastor, what do you mean by this? Here's what the Bible says. It says this, the one who walks, everybody say walks. The one who walks with the wise. Pause right there. Here's what this means. This has to do with direction. This has to do with the direction that my life is moving in. Walking applies some measure of agreement, some shared destination. Here's the principle I want us to see. Relationships impact the direction of my life. So here's what I need us to see. Some relationships are drawing me closer to God. Some relationships are pulling me away from God. Some relationships are building me up. Some relationships are tearing me down. Some relationships are keeping you stuck. Some relationships are blocking what God wants to do in your life. One person said it like this, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. The reason why this is so important is because if we're in agreement and we're walking together, there's a lot of shared experiences. And if we're tied and we're tethered together, where they're going, I'm going. Where I'm going, they're going. Here's what the Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. It says this, can two walk together without agreeing to meet? Some translations say without agreeing to do so. Can two walk together unless they agree to do so? Walking together means there's a measure of agreement. Direction. Everybody say direction. Your life is not just moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Your life is also moving in the direction of your closest relationships. So here's what Psalm 1 verse 1 says. How happy is the one, watch this, who does not what? Walk. Everybody say walk. Walk in the advice of the wicked or stand in the pathway with sinners or sit in the company of mockers. How happy is the one who does not walk in their vest. Some of the reason why some of us are so mad is because you're walking with the wrong people. Their stress has become your stress. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Because if you're close to somebody, they get upset, somebody got beef with them, now they got beef with you. Your friend don't like them, I don't like them neither. You need to be careful who you're connected to. Because your friend might be actually not liking somebody that you're actually supposed to like. How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked or stand in the pathway with sinners or sit in the company of Mockers. Write this down, number two. Not only are relationships directional, relationships are formational. Formational. What do I mean by that? It means this. Relationships shape me. They form me. Here's what verse 20 says. The one who walks with the wise will what? Become wise. So now here's what we're seeing. We're seeing the result of the relationship on a person's life. And the principle this is lifting up is that the people that we surround ourselves with will influence and shape us in some way. Our lives, family, I don't know if you know this or not, are the sum total of the relationships in our life. Some of the reasons why we like certain things is because of the people that we're around. Some of the reason why we appreciate certain things is because of the people that we're around. Some of the reason why we have tension with certain things is because of the people that we are around. Here's what I need us to know. Relationships, they shape how we think. They shape what we like. They shape what we don't like. Meaning this, hear me. If you don't get nothing else, I need you to get this. You become like who you walk with. You become like who you walk with. This is why when the disciples followed Jesus, this was so critical. You know what that word disciple means? It means to follow. And the whole implication there is that the more I'm following Jesus, the more I become like Jesus. Come on. I can't say that I'm a follower of Christ if my life does not resemble Christ. But the more I walk with Christ, doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect, but the more I begin to look like Christ. Why? Because my relationships, they form me and they shape me. The late Dallas Willard says this, we are shaped by our relationships as much as by our beliefs. We are shaped as much by our relationships as we are our beliefs. So for some of us, our issue isn't wrong beliefs. Our issue is wrong relationships. You believe all the right things, but the wrong people are occupying certain seats in your life that they should not be occupying. Here's what Proverbs 27:17 says. Iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens another. Now, iron can only sharpen iron if it is of the same substance. If it's dull, it can't sharpen it. So if iron sharpens iron and one person sharpens another, here's what the implication is. It means of the same substance, it sharpens itself, which means I can't expect wood to sharpen iron. Right? Come on, we can agree on that, right? I can't expect plastic to sharpen iron. It needs to be of the same substance. And maybe part of the reason why some of our lives are not sharp, but they're dull, is because we're hanging around dull people. And if I want my life to be godly, I need to be around godly people. I told y'all this sermon was going to be real uncomfortable. Because, man, we got to do work. We got to do work. And we got to examine things, because all of us are being impacted by our relationships, which now leads to this third point that we also see in this verse, that relationships are consequential. Tell the person beside you, it's consequences to this. Oh, yeah, good and bad. So here's what the Bible says. The one who walks with the wise will what? Become wise. But a companion of fools will what? Come on, class. Well, what? Some of y'all are like, oh, man, my life has been ruined because I got the wrong people in my life. Will suffer harm. I want you to see this here. That's not a prediction. That's a promise. The one who walks with the wise will, promise, not a prediction, will become wise. But a companion of fools will suffer harm. Meaning this, if I'm connected to the right people, there will be some good things to show for that. If I'm connected to the wrong people, there will be some bad things to show for that. This is not a prediction. This is a promise, meaning this. There are consequences to being connected to the right people and even more, the wrong people. Relationships carry with them consequences for better or for worse. And the text teaches that if I'm connected to the wrong people, here's what will happen. Pain will come with that. A companion of fools will suffer harm. Negative relationships will lead to negative results in my life. Pastor, that sounds so harsh and that sounds so bad. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Some translations say bad company corrupts good character. Meaning this, the people that I hang out with, the people that I'm close to, will rub off on me in some way. Bad company corrupts. It's interesting that it doesn't say good morals will purify bad company. That ain't what my Bible say. Bad company corrupts good morals because it's hard to bring up dead weight. Bad company corrupts good morals, which means this, hear me, who I'm close with matters. Who I'm friends with matters. Who I date matters. Who I marry matters. Why? Because wrong relationships come with real consequences. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24. Here's what the Bible says. Don't make friends with an angry person. So here's what the Bible's telling us. Don't make friends with everybody. I know we live in a day and time where everybody's like, I want to be friends with everybody. The Bible don't even tell us to do that. Right? But Jesus says I'm supposed to love all people. Loving all people doesn't mean be friends with all people. Two different things. Don't make friends with an angry person. Don't be a companion of a hot-tempered one. Here's what the Bible says next. Or you will, what? Learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Some of us only started having anger issues when we started hanging around angry people. Used to be peaceful until they stepped into life. Come on. Are y'all here? So here's the question we got to ask. And this might mess with some of us right now. Who are we really on the inside? The anger problem that I have, is that really me? Or is that my mama? I told you I got time. It's Friday. The deception that I have in my life, the lies that I may tell, is that really me or is that my siblings? Come on. We got to be real. Husbands and wives, y'all know what I'm talking about. Because there are certain things, husbands and wives, that y'all didn't do prior to getting together and being in a relationship. Like, they might have, I'll use for example, me and my wife, right? There were certain things that I did not like prior to us dating, prior to us getting married. One of them things was Grey's Anatomy. I couldn't stand that show. I'm not watching a chick flick. This chick flick. My wife loved that show. She's been watching it since 2003. Over the past like 15 years, she's like, oh, the show is terrible. Do you know what's happened since we've gotten married? The show that I was like, it's trash. I'm like, yo, Grey's Anatomy about to come on Thursday night. 10 o'clock. Last night. Grace is on. Here's my point. That only happened because of proximity. If we want us, I'm not watching Grey's Anatomy on Thursday. I'm watching the NBA. My Lakers was playing yesterday. And I'm talking about Grey's Anatomy. That's because of her. It's her fault. Now, I like the show more than she does. And some of y'all married couples know exactly what I'm talking about. Because there were certain dishes that you didn't like prior to you getting married. But then over time, you started liking it, even though you didn't like it before. You like it because they like it now. If that happens in a small way in marriage, do we not think that other people rub off on us in everyday relationships as well? Which is why it's important for us to assess and ask some questions. How are my relationships shaping me? So here's what we know. Move to these points really quickly because I can see us very uncomfortable right now as we're talking about relationships. We need to detox. Hear me. And we need to detox in all of our relationships. Hear me. In the good ones and the not so good ones. So what does it look like to detox the relationships in our life? Number one is this. we need to, write this down, we need to review our relationships. What do I mean by that? We need to assess them. We need to examine them. So I need to ask these questions. Who's in my life right now? What value are they adding to me? Do they need to be in my life right now? Come on. Who am I dating right now? Do I need to break up with them? How have I defined friendship? I call them a best friend, but the only time we talk is when I call them. They never call, they never text, but I'm always the one to initiate that. That's called a one-sided relationship. I need to assess that. Here's another question we need to ask. What relationships are making me more like Jesus? Here's a Proverbs 12, 26. Because once again, some of us are like, man, Pastor, this whole friendship thing and choosing relationships. The Bible tells us to be choosing and choose them carefully. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 12, 26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. The righteous choose their friends carefully. You know, a lot of times, like growing up, for those of us who might have kids or whatever the case may be, like when you're a kid, everybody's your friend. Right? Like our kids, especially like younger when they were like super, super young, like preschool and all that, you know, daddy, mommy, I'm friends with everybody. Everybody, huh? What's that person's name? I don't know, but he's my friend. But here's the reason why that happens, because they don't have the wisdom. And when we don't have the wisdom, we apply labels to people that we might not should apply to their life. We got to choose carefully. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So we need to review our relationships. Number two, here's another thing. We need to redefine our relationships. We should not relate to everyone the same way. Relationships need boundaries and clarity. So as I mentioned, do I need to call everybody my friend? Like there's a difference between being friendly with everybody and befriending people. Studies have even shown that the average person only has the capacity to fully give themselves to about 4 to 5 people. Fully. And it makes sense. Because if I got 20 best friends, I gotta tell all my best friends the same thing. Everybody gotta get on FaceTime. I'm not telling all 20 of y'all individually. It's too much to keep up with. Like, I can't emotionally invest in all these relationships. So I need to be able to define this. I like what Pastor Darius Daniels did. He wrote this book, this phenomenal book called Relational Intelligence. I would encourage us all to get that. And one of the premises of his book is how the reason why many relationships fall apart or why there's so much relational tension and relational ignorance is because there's a lack of relational intelligence. So, who are friends in my life that really should be associates? Like everybody on your job can't be your friend. Just because we work together don't make us friends. Come on, let's be real. And part of the reason why we've had heartbreak is because we've attributed labels to relationships, or let me say it like this, we've mislabeled relationships. So we had expectations of a certain relationship, but that person never had the capacity to fulfill that expectation. So now we're left with a broken heart because we've mislabeled this. So who are my friends? Who are really associates? And the major pain point for many is not knowing the role that people should play in our lives and or the role that we should play in theirs. I want you to write this down. Not everyone needs to be removed from our lives, but not everyone needs to have the same access to our lives. So here's what I'm not saying. What I'm not saying is you need to get rid of everybody in your life. If they don't love Jesus, get rid of them. No, because how are they going to come to know Jesus? Somebody got to be able to minister to them. However, it don't mean that you need to have them in your inner circle of life. We call that missionary dating and missionary friendships. Not everybody needs to have the same access. I got to put up boundaries. Some people need to move from the inner circle to what I might call the outer circle. But then there's some people who might be in the outer circle of my life that need to move to the inner circle. There's some people in my life and in our lives, the volume of their voice is too loud. They're a lead vocal in my life when they're supposed to be a background vocal. We give them too much weight. We trust too much in what they say. And God's like, no. We need to redefine relationships. So here's what I want you to understand. Some people don't need to be cut off. They just can't be that close anymore. But then there's some people, number three, that we need to remove. We need to remove some relationships. They gotta go. And I know this is hard for some of us because you got memories with some people. And we got shared history with some people. But let's be honest, some of those people are not good for you. They're toxic. They tear you down. They're abusive verbally, maybe even physically. And they need to go. They need to be removed from my life because they're getting in the way of what God wants to do in my life. There are some people in our lives that upon further review need to be removed. The breakthrough that some of us need and many of us may want is on the other side of us getting rid of some people in our life. I'm not saying that they don't have worth and they don't have value. They're created in the image of God. Watch this. And I'm not saying that they're bad people. They just may not be good for you. Come on. Some of the stress that we have in our life is because of the wrong people in our life. And maybe for some of us, we've allowed people to enter our lives that we know aren't really adding value to our life. They're tearing us down. They're causing us to compromise. Watch this. Let's flip that. Because a lot of times we'll kind of look at it just from our angle. Here's the reality. We might be the toxic person in somebody else's life. Don't nobody ever want to admit that. Pastor, I got a lot of toxic people in my life. Are you that toxic person for somebody else too? Come on. We're talking about detoxing. So there's some people in my life that may not be good for me. I'm coming down some aisles and I'm going to be dealing with some idols right now. There might be some frat brothers right now in my life. They got to go. Some of y'all are here. My husband got to go. Wait, hold on. My wife got to go. We need to have some premarital pastoral counseling before you. Let's seek some wisdom first, right? Now, all jokes aside, there may be some moments where that has to happen because of some abusiveness that is taking place. But when we survey the relationships in our life, there's some things, there's some people, man, that we've let occupy in our life that don't need to be there. There's some coworkers that you're building relationships with that you know good and well don't honor God. They get you to compromise. They bring something out of you that you never want to come out of you. Like, they trigger you while we still hanging around them. Cut them off. Tell the person beside you, cut them off. Some people got to get cut off. So here's what this means. For some of you, tonight, today, watching online, you need to take out your phone right now and delete numbers. Some of us need to go on social media right now. Unfollow them. Pastor, I could just mute them. Unfollow them. And don't go peeking back at their profile later. Know how some of y'all do. Let me just see. There's some people that we're friends with on Facebook right now. We need to unfriend them. Just go ahead, unfriend them. It's time. For some of us, that's what we need. We need a clean break in order to have a breakthrough. Some of us might mean you got to have a hard conversation with somebody. Hey, listen, I know we've been doing a whole bunch of things that are ungodly. It stops now. We're done. For some of us, we're in a relationship right now with somebody. We're dating somebody right now that we know God did not send to our lives. We know it on the inside of our hearts, but we tried to justify it for so long. And God's like, the sooner you cut them off, the quicker your life will accelerate to being where I've called it to be. Cut them off. Tell the person beside you, cut them off. Some people got to get cut off. Yeah, cut them off. It's time. It's time. Stop justifying it. Cut it off. A few weeks ago, I said, this has to go. That has to go. It's time. They gotta go. It's time. And the reason why for some of us it's hard to do that, oh, I'm meddling now, it's because we've trauma bonded with some people. And it's hard for us to visualize life without them. You know what that's called? A stronghold. And as long as that stronghold is there, you will not be free. This is why Jesus uses graphic imagery, where he says this, if your hand calls you to sin, cut it off. If your eye calls you to sin, gouge it out, cut it out. We need to apply the same principle when it comes to relationships. Cut them off. Cut them off. It's time. Because there's too much that God wants to do in your life. And this is getting in the way. And I want us to understand, you have people in your life that should not be there. It gets in the way. And there's a perfect example of this in the book of Joshua. I was going to preach a whole sermon on this, but I'm just going to reference it tonight. Joshua chapter 1, here's what happens. In the scripture, God had called Joshua to go conquest this city called Ai. But here's what happened. Right before they went into this place to do battle, they had just won another victory. And God had told them, get rid of everything that is there. Don't take nothing. Don't take no spoils of war. Don't take nothing. Don't take no trophies. Destroy everything. Here's what the Bible says in Joshua 1. The Israelites, however, were unfaithful regarding the things set apart for destruction. And Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, he took some of what the Lord had told him not to take. And here's what happens. Here's where it gets crazy. Jump down to verse 5 of Joshua chapter 1. Here's what the Bible says. The men of Ai struck down about 36 of them and chased them from the outside of the city gate to the quarries, striking them down on the descent. And as a result, the people lost. Watch this, verse 10. The Lord then said to Joshua, stand up. Why have you fallen face down? Because in this moment, Joshua's trying to figure out, why did we lose this battle? We've been taking people out left and right. Why did we lose? Joshua had no idea that somebody in his own camp had stole something that God said, don't touch. Here's verse 11. Israel has sinned. This is what God's telling Joshua. Israel has sinned. They violated my covenant that I appointed for them. They have taken some of what was set apart. They have stolen, deceived, and put those things with their own belongings. Verse 12. This is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They will turn their backs and run from their enemies because they have been set apart for destruction. I will no longer be with you unless, watch this, you what? Remove from among you what is set apart. Here's what God is saying. Y'all gonna keep losing until you get rid of that. Verse 13, go and consecrate the people. Tell them to consecrate themselves for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are things that are set apart among you, Israel. You will not be able to stand your enemies until you remove what is set apart. There are some things in your life that will not happen for you until you remove them. There are some things that we'll miss out on life because we won't remove them. So here's what the Bible says. We're jumping down. I want you to go read the whole thing in Joshua 7 and Joshua 8. Verse 24 says this. Then Joshua and all Israel, verse 24, with him took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the cloak, and the bar of gold, his sons and his daughters, his ox, his donkey, and sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and he brought them up to the valley of Achor. Verse 25, here's what it says. Joshua said, why have you brought us trouble? You know what Joshua was saying? Y'all the reason why we lost this battle. And here's what he says. Today the Lord will bring you trouble. So all, watch this. Here's what it gets. So all Israel stoned them to death. They won't play in no games. They burned their bodies threw stones on them, verse 26, and raised over him a large pile of rocks that remains still today. Then the Lord turned from his burning anger, and therefore that place is called the Valley of Achor still today. Now, some of us might be trying to figure out, man, why did he do this? And why did God allow this? Here's what you got to understand in the Old Testament. They were under what was called a theocracy, meaning that God enabled them to cast judgment in the way that he prescribed and the way that he ordained. And one of the things that God talked about was capital punishment, God's way. God's like, y'all got sin in the camp and it's messing with y'all. You're taking losses because there's sin present. And until you deal with that, you're going to keep losing. All because the presence of somebody who did not need to be there. Because there was a compromise in this person's life by the name of Achan. Can I ask us a question? What Achans do we have in our life right now? And God is like, until you deal with them, things are going to continue to deal with you. Now, here's what I'm not telling you to do. Go stone them. That's murder. God has not given you that authority at all. That's Old Testament. Can I pause parenthetically? Y'all ought to be glad that you ain't in the Old Testament no more. Because let's keep it a stack. Some of us would have been just like Achan and took an L that day. Thank God for grace and mercy. But the principle still applies. Until you remove this, it will continue to hinder you. They lost the battle. Watch this. People died in that battle that did not have to die because of the presence of some sinfulness and some compromise and bad relationships being present. People died. Here's the thing I want you to understand. It cost us when we have the wrong relationships. And they need to be removed. I want you to jump down to verse 26 and 28. Here's what the Bible says. Of Joshua chapter 8, the Bible says this. Joshua did not draw back his hand. Now here's what's happened. Moments, time goes on. They've gotten rid of Achan. God's judged them, all that. They've purified the camp. Sin is no longer there. Now they go back and have another battle with Ai. Here's what happens. Joshua did not draw back his hand that was holding the javelin until all the inhabitants of Ai were completely destroyed. Israel plundered only the cattle and spoil of the city for themselves, according to what? The Lord's command that he had given Joshua. And Joshua burned Ai and left it permanent ruin, which is still desolate today. They won this battle in that next chapter that they could have won in chapter 7, but they didn't because of the wrong people there. Can I ask you something? What victories have we missed out in previous chapters of our life? Because people are present in our life that should not be there. Come on. Some people got to be removed. Tell the person beside you, they got to go. I'm going to close with this. Everyone who's close to you is not necessarily good for you. Judas was close to Jesus, and he was still a snake. Jesus had 12 people that went with him everywhere. And out of that 12, there was one snake. I'm not causing you to be suspicious about your people that's close to you. But could you have some snakes in your circle that you know nothing about? So what we need to be asking God, Lord, would you reveal who needs to go? But then also, here's another thing we need to ask. We need to receive relationships. Because God doesn't just want us to remove some things. He also wants us to receive the right relationships. That just as there are relationships that need to be removed, there are some that need to be received. We need the right relationships in our lives. We need relationships that are going to push us closer to God. We need relationships that are going to correct us when we are wrong. Come on. Tell us what we need to hear, not always what we want to hear. And we need relationships that will celebrate us when we get things right. We need relationships that are life-giving. Men, you need a man and other men of God and brothers in Jesus Christ that can keep you encouraged and that can hold you accountable and that can build you up when you need it the most. Ladies, you need some sisters in Christ that can hold you up and can strengthen you and can rebuke you and also celebrate you when you get things right. Why? Because the right people don't just affirm you, they refine you. Here's what Proverbs 18:24 says. One with many friends may be harmed, but there is a friend who stays closer than a brother. And what I've recognized, some of us, I've struggled with this throughout my life as well. Some of us, your issue is not cutting people off. Your cutoff game is great. Somebody look at you sideways. We done. It's over, bro. Rap. Your cutoff game is great. But when it comes to being open to the relationships that God wants you to have, it's hard. Because for some of us, we don't trust easily. Maybe because we've been wounded in our past. But I want you to know that God has some people that he's ordained to be in your life. Watch this. And some of those people may not be blood related. Some of your closest relationships might not have your same last name, but their name might be written in heaven. Some of those relationships that God wants you to have, those relationships that you might not consider. Some breakthroughs will only happen, hear me, when the wrong people are out of our lives and the right people are in our lives. I want you to know this, no matter where you are on a relationship spectrum, maybe for some of us, as we hear this message, it's troubling. Maybe it's unsettling. Maybe for some of us, we feel discouraged because we're like, man, I've let the wrong people in my life, and maybe the wrong people are occupying my life. Watch this. Maybe I've pushed away people in my life that should be in my life, and I've guarded myself from receiving the authentic love of Christ that he has set aside for me to receive from godly people. Maybe because of some wounds and some trauma and some hurt and some betrayal. For some of us, the reason why we don't have friends is because we've been betrayed so many times. We've been hurt, we've been jaded. But can I let you know, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And it ain't Solomon, it ain't Moses, it ain't Joshua, it ain't Abraham, it ain't David, it ain't John the Baptist, it ain't Peter, it ain't James, it ain't John, it's not Paul. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus Christ. That no matter what's happening in your life, I'm here to let you know that you got a friend in Jesus Christ. He calls you and I friends now. You and I are not away from him. No, he draws close to us. So even when people betray you, and even when people turn their back on you, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here tonight that's grateful for the fact that we got a friend named Jesus? Jesus, who won't leave us, who won't abandon us, who won't betray us, who won't hurt us. No, he covers us. He's faithful to us. He's with us. He says this in John 15, verse 15. He says, I do not call you servants anymore because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I've made known to you everything I've heard from my Father. I want you to know this. The greatest relationship that you need in your life is a relationship with Jesus. Your relationship with Jesus is meant to impact every other relationship in your life. You need him. It starts with him. You don't know what a friend is until you know Jesus, the true friend. I would even say this, we don't know how to become a true friend until we have been truly befriended by Jesus. So yes, there's some people that gotta go. But then there's also some people that need to enter in. Chief among them is Jesus himself. And I know as we talk about detox, and I know as we talk about letting some things go, this is hard. I believe this is also part of the reason why this message is the last message in our sermon series. Because when we start talking about relationships, these areas are near and dear to us. For some of us, this changes how you relate to your family. For some of us, we need to put up boundaries with our family members because we have an unhealthy connection to our family. Our family has become our idols. You know what Jesus says about family? When people were like, your family, your mother, your sisters and brothers, they're looking for you. Here's what Jesus says. Who is my mother and my father? Who are my brother and my sisters? And then the Bible says he looks at his disciples and he points to them. He says, these are my family, the ones who do the will of my Father. So for some of us, the reason why we miss out on things is because we have unhealthy boundaries and perspectives. I love my wife, but my wife is not Jesus. I love my kids, but they're not Jesus. Only Jesus died for me, not them. And if I don't get my walk with him right, it impacts everything else. I want to invite us to stand to our feet in this moment. I believe that some of us are here tonight and you're watching online. I took my time with this sermon. This sermon is going to probably be a little bit longer than any other sermon we've done in this series because there's a lot more that we have to unpack when it comes to relationships. Because we're talking about maybe for some of us years of history and unhealthy connections and a detox that has to happen. Purging that has to happen. So what I want to invite us to do right where we are today is to ask God, God, would you show me where in my relational life detox needs to happen? Maybe for some of you, it's not removing people, it's receiving people. Maybe for others of us, it's not just receiving people, it is removing people. And I know that can be hard because there's so many maybe shared experiences that we have. But if we're going to experience breakthrough, there's some things that have to be broken off of us. There's too much that God wants to do in your life. And sometimes the people that surround us can be getting in the way of that. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, you're watching online, this is for you as well. I got two invitations today. One is this. You will not get relationships right in your life until you first have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't care what you do. I don't care how much you love your husband, how much you love your wife. If you and Jesus ain't right, that won't be right. I don't care how much you love your kids, how great of a parent you are. Until you know the love of the Father, you won't be able to love them the way the Father wants you to. It starts with him. So if you're here today and you're like, Pastor, I need my relationship with Jesus to be right. By every head is bowed and every eye is closed. If this is you and you're like, man, I want to get right with Jesus right now, today. I need to enter into a relationship with him. Or maybe for some of you, you drifted from him and you need to come back to him. This is for you as well. On the count of three, I want you to shoot up your hand. If you're watching online, this is for you as well. On the count of three, shoot up your hand if you want a relationship with Jesus. One, today is a day of new beginning. Two, any person in Christ is a new creature. One, two, three, wherever you are, slip up your hand, wherever you are. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. Amen. Come on, wherever you are, slip up your hand. You want to come back to him? You want to come to him for the first time? If you're watching online, this is for you as well. For every person who has raised their hand, if you're watching online, this is for you. I want you to say these words after me. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to make me whole again. I repent of my sins. I turn from my wicked ways. I receive your love and I receive your grace in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, can we celebrate those who have said yes to Jesus today? Amen.